Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. Today, we have Sandra Reeves joining us. So Sandra is a certified empowerment coach who helps women rebuild confidence and reconnect with their inner power after trauma or major life shifts. Through her signature coaching programs, workshops, and heart-centered approach, she guides clients to rediscover self-worth, rewrite limiting narratives, and thrive in both life and business. Sandra, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I feel very honored indeed.
I would like to hear your story and what really brought you to being an empowerment coach.
Okay. So my niche is actually helping women, you know, being authentic, okay, to become their authentic selves. And that's, I think, the most important thing. Authenticity and also often people struggle with their healthy boundaries, having very limited or no boundaries at all. So basically, people tend to prioritize other people and they develop a people-pleasing kind of habitual behavior and thought pattern. And that is my niche. And the real reason for that is because personally, I was born into chaos myself. From a very young age, I learned to people please. I learned that due to my beginnings, so to speak. So to put it all in context for you, very quickly, I was born at a time where wedlock was considered taboo. And so there were a lot of issues there when I was, of course, you know, in my mother's embryo, but also when I was sort of like, you know, I had been born and I, you know, I was in my mom's kind of family's home in another part of Asia, Malaysia. So that was where I was originally from. And my dad wasn't there. And the families were basically trying to, I guess, get both parents together to get married, to give me a family name. And throughout that time, I think my mother's family at the time, although they were looking after me, they had struggled with issues with regards to my birth, of course, and the issues that it caused. So basically, I was taught to always ensure that I made people comfortable or happy. And as a little girl, that had already started. So thus began my journey of people pleasing. So it's something that I know a lot about, this particular topic, and that's why I specialize in it.
So what does it mean to be authentic? And why do you think women struggle with this?
Because I think in general, and across many cultures, actually, we're taught to people please from very young because women are nurturing, aren't we? That's generally who we are. And we're always taught to look after people. And for, you know, for many of us, we're taught to place or prioritize other people's needs before ourselves so that we can be looked upon as nice and perhaps more acceptable. Whether that's a cultural thing or in the society that we're brought up in. And I think that that in itself shapes us. Mm-hmm. And it's easier for men to sort of deviate and break the mold and say, no, I'm not going to do this. But for women, it's always, you know, yeah, maybe I can try. Yeah, maybe not today, but oh, okay, yes, I can try. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's that's a common thing that I find with clients, and also in my early life, and you know, Throughout the years, I found about myself before I actually realized that people pleasing can actually be very, very toxic to your own self.
Yes, definitely. So, why do you think we are so afraid to say no? Because many people will, especially women, will say yes to accommodate everybody else but themselves and put themselves last. It is like there's a fear around saying no.
Yes. So when we say no, what happens? Basically, it is part of ourselves empowering ourselves. I know that. But on the other hand, how it may seem to other people, we're sort of like women tend to think that, oh, we're rejecting their needs, or we're saying no because, you know, we're selfish. So the connotation, okay, that the ability to say no, that aspect of actually being assertive, is not seen as a good thing, but it's seen as something as like we're almost placing ourselves first, therefore it becomes a selfish notion.
And
No.
yes, definitely. And so you talked about being like assertive. What's the difference from being assertive or like being aggressive?
Yeah, that's very interesting because the word assertiveness, people always, for some reason, equate that word to being aggressive. It's not about being aggressive. It's about putting your needs first. It's about speaking your truth. It's about being able to just state your needs, you know, and it can be in a very nice way. No, I'm so sorry, you know, but I would love to do it, but I can't, unfortunately, today I'm swamped or something like that. So it's basically truth telling, but it also means that the other person does not get their way, right? And therefore, it's never taken well. So I think people have to start looking at the word, you know, assertiveness. And really, sort of looking at it in a way that does not mean that it's like it's prioritizing me over you, although it is, right? But looking at it as being able to speak our truth, especially as women, to prioritize ourselves and our needs first, because if we are not happy and we do something to just please the other party, what tends to happen is that internally we will also build resentment as time goes by. And that resentment is toxic. It's toxic for us personally, and it's also toxic because we're beginning to hate people for asking us to do things when in reality we've actually trained them to do things.
It's a very good way of putting things. And I think what might be kind of helpful for people to hear is how you were able to step into like setting your boundaries, feeling, that you could be yourself, being more authentic. Like, what was kind of the catalyst for that for you?
Okay, so the catalyst was slowly, I was sort of like I began to realize that whenever I said yes, even though inside me there was a silent voice that says, oh, you know, I'm so tired, you know, why am I taking this on? But no. I'm to be a good friend, you know, I need to help this person or whatever. And with family members, it was the same thing as well. Like it was okay until it was not. Like I would take the pressure or whatever the deeds on or the job on, and then after that, when, for example, I did not feel that in turn my actions were appreciated as much, so there was also an expectation from me that people would appreciate and see what I'm doing for them, and sort of that was my validation. So when I began to realize that, I thought, no, you know, because basically I'm training myself for disaster. I'm not training myself, you know, just to be liked. You know, that's a side sort of outcome. But in effect, when you do all these things for people, you're training yourself to be a doormat, literally a doormat. And then when people walk all over you and they don't appreciate the fact that you are always there, then your expectation is crushed and you get resentment. And then, it's a toxic feeling. And, I began to realize that my validation of my own self came through what others thought of me. And then I thought, no more, because I began to question myself and who I was as a person. I began to ask myself a lot of honest questions. And you know what? The biggest thing was to be able to sit in the discomfort of the truth that my questions brought up. Now, when you can sit in the honest truth, and feel the discomfort, that's when you come to realization of who you actually are. And yeah, and in not prioritizing yourself, what are you telling people? That I'm not important. That you are. Yeah.
And so, what do you think about? So, when you did this discovery and you have these revelations about yourself, and then you start to set boundaries with people, what is
Yeah.
that like? Because if people are used to having complete access to you all the time, knowing that, okay, she always says yes, she'll always help, she's always available. And then all of a sudden you set boundaries, that relationship changes.
Correct, correct. And, unfortunately, relationships will change around you. But guess what? You begin to find out who your friends truly are, who truly values you and your help all these years, and who truly just, felt that they basically could walk all over you. And then when they can't, they start moving away. Or just because you're no longer the person that they think that you are, who can always be their beck and call girl. So that's when you realize, who are your true friends and who will be with you through thick and thin. And I think it's more important to realize that and to prioritize those people who will in turn respect you. And, obviously, it came as a shock to a lot of people. That I was not there all the time for them. Like in my family, I remember I was the go-to kind of niece, for example, or the person, the member of the family where, you can always talk to Sandra or Sandy, as I'm known to my family, you can always talk to her. She'll always be there. But then I also found out that, with people, you're always there for them, but they're not there for you. So when you need them, there's this horrible, horrible realization and very, very sad realization that, hang on, I've been here for you all this while. I've spoken to you for hours on end on the phone or whatever. Where are you now? Then you think to yourself, goodness, all these years. Am I stupid or what? And these are the things that will come up in your mind. Being authentic myself, the word stupid did come up in my mind. And I caught myself all kinds of things like, are you an idiot? Why did you allow this to happen? But the fact of the matter is, we train people how to treat us, as I mentioned before. So really, we have to untrain them or train them in a different way to sort of respect who we really are and what our values and beliefs are. And that comes to the next thing, of course, of whose voice are you hearing in your head?
Oh, yes, definitely. Can you speak a little bit more about that? But before you do, I do want to say I think it's a common experience amongst many women to constantly be givers, to constantly be available, to constantly help, 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 help. But it's not, a lot of the times, it's, there's a lot of, taking, but there's not, it's not reciprocated. And it is very
Yes.
difficult, especially if you were raised to be, like you said, a people pleaser, and it, I always wonder what the moment is for people, as you just kind of discussed, when you finally say no more, enough. You know, when you have people in your life where you, when you really need them and you were there for them all the time, and then the one time, or you know, maybe two times you ever needed them, they just couldn't make time for you. To me, that really shows you, you know, what they really think about you.
Correct, correct. And it hurts.
It
You
hurts
know,
quite a bit.
if you really want to think about it and you really want to feel it, you know, I mean, for your audience, you know, for your listeners out there, you know, who are people pleasers and who have been people pleasers all their lives, it really hurts when you reach out and it's your turn and suddenly, you know, they say they can't do it for this reason, for that reason, you know, or, you know, they're just not there. They're just, and people pleasing also extends to other things, you know, that people tend to do, like, for example, remembering people's birthdays. Like, I almost had this, I don't know, this, you know, I had to remember everyone's birthday. I had to wish them because that was the thing that I had to do, you know, that nice girl thing growing up, you know, to remember. And then you find, and also, like, I'm a person of my word. Like, if I promise something, do or die, I'll ensure that that promise is kept. But then I realize that people around me were, you know, I mean, I didn't get the same back. Let's put it this way, you know. So, you know, being authentic also means validating your own feelings, and you know, having learned that, I learned that. Well, like I said before, it hurts, and you need to begin to understand, you know, that you're just because you're training in a certain way, and you feel the need to please other people don't feel the same need. They don't have that desire because they're not people pleasers. In fact, they're takers.
Yes.
So the more you give, the more they take. And so I also learned that I can't blame them. How can I blame them when I've always been there? To be fair. Right? Yeah. So I began to, this is the other thing. Take responsibility for my actions. You can't always blame people. And I don't believe in the victim mentality, which I used to believe in a long time ago. There's no such thing as poor me, poor me. You know, and these are the honest truths that will come up when you question yourself. And that's the first step of, you know, for people pleasers, I would say. Ask yourself a lot of questions about why you are being the way you are. Why can you not just validate yourself and you need others to validate you in order to feel good or accepted or liked? Sorry, I may have gone off tangent there.
No, I don't think it's a tangent. I think, again, it's something that a lot of us really struggle with, you know, the inability to say no, with, you know, making sure everybody else is taken care of, everybody else is supported and heard, but you're the one who's, you know, unsupported. But as you said, I think it's important to mention accountability. And that what you
Yes.
said now a few times is, and I think it's important to reiterate that you're always teaching people how to treat you. And if you taught them it's okay to take advantage of you, if you taught them it's okay to call you whatever time and ask you for this, that, and the other, then, you know, they're used to that's who you are. That's who they believe you to be.
Correct. So it takes rewiring, you know, of the brain. Yeah. And also, I mentioned before, and I haven't forgotten, whose voice are you listening to? Because obviously, when we're children, we listen to our caretakers, whoever, you know, they are. So, you know, so they may be two parents, you know, mom and dad, or it could be two moms, two dads, or it could be, you know, a single mom or a single dad or carer or whoever. Those people who are close to you, who are close-knit, who are in your circle, you know, as you are growing up, these people are very important. Basically, they can make or break you as a child till you begin to understand adult perceptions and belief systems and values. As a child, you do nothing but you're like tabula rasa, you're a blank slate. You absorb information. So whatever they say, you'll just tend to absorb, and you'll become, and you're molded through these people and the voices. And when I ask people, whose voice are you hearing or listening to? Often for me, it was like, I could literally hear my mother's voice, you know, or sometimes it would be my father's voice, or sometimes it could be a particular auntie who was quite influential in my life when I was young. So you tend to hear their voice and, you know, what they tend to say, like, oh, Sandy, you can't do this, you know, that's not a good thing to do, you know, or we have to always help people whenever we can. So you'll hear these voices. Get used to identifying when you ask yourself questions, or when you feel the need to people please. At that moment in time when you're about to make that decision, just pause for a second, just a second, you know, and just listen to whose voice is talking and whether those voices or that voice is an important voice or should be an important voice in your life right here, right now. You know, because things change, we grow up, our needs become different, we become different people, and hopefully as we grow, we learn more about ourselves and we learn to love ourselves, which a lot of us don't. We don't love ourselves, we don't respect ourselves, not enough anyway, because if we did, we would prioritize ourselves. And we would be able to gently, very, very gently, you don't even have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be a difficult conversation. Oh, I'm so sorry, but, you know, I can't, I wish I could, but I don't have the energy, for example. You could literally just say, I don't have the energy today. I'm so tired. All I feel like is basically just going home or, you know, and resting. I wouldn't be of good company, for example, if you're asked by friends, you know, to go out. And you normally have like this thing in your head that says you have to, you know, the life of the party. If you're not there, you know, sometimes friends are good at convincing you. For example, then this is another example, many examples of how people can convince you. Oh, you got to go. What do you mean you can't be there? But you're dead tired, right? You know, and it's okay. It's okay, you know, to prioritize yourself. Oh my God, you know, I'd love to be there personally. Look, I'd love to party with you guys, but you know what? I really, really don't have the energy to do so. And I won't be good company. I'll tell you this right now, you know, I'm so sorry, but I really need to rest because, you know, that's what I feel I need at the moment. That's it. Period. Full stop. Done. Dusted. But I'm telling you, there's so many of us who can't do it. It's so difficult just to speak our truth.
It really is. And even, you know, when people attempt to do so, they apologize while doing
yes.
so. It's very,
I'm so
it's
sorry.
Very
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I'm so, so tired. I'm so sorry. I just worked 15 hours and I can't be there for you, for your needs.
Yes.
You know, it's such a common thing you find, you know, over, I'll just say, at least over here in Western culture, where we're always apologizing, even though it's so unnecessary.
Yes, that's right. And that's something else as you develop for people pleasers, as you develop in time. So initially, you know, you might just start off with saying that, you know, that's normal, I think, to apologize and to, you know, but then gradually, I think what we all should learn and, you know, and keep practicing is that, like you said, the sorries, the apologies become less and less. And then soon it's just the tone of your voice and say, I can't make it, you know, I'm not feeling it or whatever. But I think if you train people to get to know you, who you really are, and if you're always authentic, people will learn to love that about you. People will learn to accept you for just who you are. There's no need to be any extra or to be more for people. But we tend to do that. And that's why, going back to the voices again, it's important now to dissect, you know, and to, I guess, reveal who are you actually listening to? Was that grandma's voice, you know, dad's voice, or mom's voice? And mom may have tried to be a martyr, you know, during those days, you know, mm-hmm. but you don't have to, because that's not who you are as a person. And trying to find the real you, which is then coming back into your authenticity.
Yes.
And it's not easy, I'm telling you. It's just not easy.
How do you help? Okay. So with your clients who, like you said, when there's certain voices of people in their lives who they're listening to quite clearly in their own heads, that's directing their actions. How do you help people to start to quiet some of those voices? Because I imagine, you know, it took, depending on how old you are, it took a long time for you to be who you are. So to undo that is also quite a bit of work.
I love the way you said that. See, because sometimes people think that when you come to a counselor or a coach, it's, well, they're like, they're supposed to be like some kind of miracle worker, you know, that they can just give you an answer. Oh, here now today, 3 days later, or, you know, three sessions into it, or five sessions, and everything is good. But like exactly what you say, I often tell clients, you know, obviously, I mean, if you've been going through this for 18 years or you know, however many years, it's not going to take that however many years. But then clients need to be realistic too, because it's a process. It's rewiring. And the thing is, you really need to understand. And this is something that I'm very big on. Not all counselors, or because it's easy for me to coach. I find that innately it's easy for me because I've got a counseling background as well. So my understanding of people, you know, it originates from that training and that, you know, that experience of counseling, you know, and innately I've always been a coach. I always try and get my clients to reach the fullest potential, because it's there that people, I think, realize who they are, and their personal happiness is actually at that level.
Right.
Carl Jung would say individuation. But the thing is, for us to get there, it's first I take people back to the origins of the problem, you know, back to their inner childhood. So back to their childhood, back to where they began to start people pleasing, because you need to understand your behavior before you can, you know, change anything. You need to understand where everything originates from. That's my personal belief. So I use a lot of psychodynamic theories, but I often, not for people to dwell in the past, but more so for them to gain an understanding of what's happened in the past to create or to mold who they are today. Mm-hmm. And the minute they understand that, they get their aha moments. Oh, yeah, that's why I'm behaving like this. Oh, yeah, I remember now, because so-and-so told me that this uncle didn't like me, so therefore I had to try harder. And then it became like common practice for me to behave this way, if you like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then so what I do is I get them to talk about first, you know, like, how they're feeling at the moment, you know, which is obviously bad and all that, and how, for example, they would like to feel, and look at the gaps in between, and then helping them understand where everything originated, and helping them understand whose voice they have been listening to, and why was it so important at that time as opposed to this time now, because maybe the needs are all, that they're no longer there. Like for me personally, it was because of the chaos of my birth at that time period, but that's no longer present, is it?
Right.
Right now, it's really different for me. So using my experience as an example, it's the same for other people. Is it necessary to repeat, or is it necessary to behave in the same way because it's no longer needed? Now, for validation, it's basically practice. You need to validate yourself and why. And taking through that them through this process of questions and answers, and like I said, sitting in the discomfort of the of whatever the answers can bring, and then going through this pathway, journeying along with the client, understanding that they're going to have difficulties, and also practicing their new belief systems, because once they understand and everything, often there's the shift in beliefs, values, and perceptions. Yeah. So once they have that shift, it's to, I guess, practice a new way of being or becoming and why, and always sort of supporting that with why. The validation is that you are good enough. You by yourself, you're unique. You're beautiful. You're everything that you need to be. You do not need another individual, another soul to keep telling you this. Why do you need that? And exploring that. So it's not a easy thing, oh, just change your mind, this is the situation, you're a doormat, let's just change it tomorrow. It doesn't happen that way. You can make temporary changes, but without going through the whole process and understanding, it won't keep. It's not going to be something that you're going to be able to facilitate your whole life moving forward. Those bad habits will come back. You need to, once you understand everything, and it's a conscious decision that you need to make and get out of the victim mentality of, oh, this, that. Yep, that's fine. That was before. I always say to people, and this is children, everybody, around me, you're not aware till you're made aware. Okay, so if I don't know something, it's okay. But once someone tells you and you begin to understand and then you know, then the expectation should be that you now go with this new belief system or this new value system or perception in your head, process it in your own mind, and think to yourself, okay, is this beneficial for me? How do I move forward from here? You know
Right.
what I mean? So it takes a while. And then once you start practicing just simple ways, and that's where and I facilitate clients depending on their situation, because everyone's different. Some people will have more of this problem in an office setup in their career, and some other people, it could be within say family dynamics. Say you have a mother or mother-in-law or whatever, that you can't, who you can't say no to. It could be anything, any form of relationship, relationships that you have amongst your circle of friends, family, whatever. But the thing is, at the end of the day, it's the learning, it's the journey of beginning to say a simple no. That's it. And then soon, once you start practicing, the guilt will go. But it is a practice. As you start, so for example, for myself, once I started practicing, and then so when I made so okay, so I realized, and then I took a while to process everything in my head. And I always say, I have a funny saying, whilst I'm processing, anybody can influence me or anybody can talk to me. And it's okay because I'm still processing. So I'm listening to your opinion, his opinion, her opinion, whatever. And then finally, I make my own opinion. And when I make that final opinion, I always say, only God or the devil himself can change my mind. And then that's because it's a well thought of process, you know, the whole process, the whole journey that I'm going through. So by the time I make the decision, it's a well thought of decision that now I'm going to follow. And I will take full responsibility for that decision. Because you see, if you, again, if you're listening to the voice or the opinion of this person, that person, whoever, you're going, you'll have a tendency to say, oh, but so-and-so told me that. You know, you're going to blame. No. Get rid of the blame game. This is not a victim thing. You have got to take responsibility for you, your actions, your thoughts, your feelings. So once you know, then you need to reprocess, rewire that brain of yours, and then decide, who are you now? How are you going to behave? And the way that you're going to practice saying it to people. At first, like everything else, it will be foreign.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, just like any new language, whatever. Then as we get into the groove, it'll become the new you. Yeah. And the moves, the muscle memory, the everything, you know, it'll become the new you. Then you'll find that it's easier than to, in every direction, whatever direction, when you don't feel like doing something, to just say a simple no.
Well, Sandra, it was so great having you on, and I loved our discussion. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.